right. Okay. We'll start again in Genesis chapter 1. I believe we had gotten around verse 17, I think. And so I just start at verse 14, and then we'll continue on to finish this this chapter. Okay? Let's pray. Father Yah, we thank you again. We come to you to seek knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. We just ask you to lead and guide us in truth. And we just bless you for our Savior, Yahshua. In his name we do pray. Amen. All right. Genesis chapter 1. Just a quick review here. In the beginning, Yah created the heavens and the earth. Verse 1. Verse 2, he creates darkness and water. Verse 3, he creates light. Called the light day, verse 5, 3 through 5, called the darkness night. Verse 6, he creates the water in the middle of, he creates the heavens or firmament in the middle of the water. Verse 8 shows that the firmament is called heaven, and there is water above the firmament and also under the firmament. Verse 7. Verse 9, he creates the dry ground, the dry land, which is called earth. In verse 10, this dry or earth, the purpose of it, or at least one of the purpose of it, is to gather the waters together. Verse 9. Verse 10, he calls those waters seas. And verse 11, he brings in, he spoke the grass forth in verse 11, along with the herb yielding seed and the fruit yielding seed after its kind. And remember, we dealt with GMOs or genetically modified seeds, or we also dealt with hybrid seeds, and to show that they are not indeed what Yah originally created. Everything that Yah created, from the grass to the herbs to the fruit of the trees, all of them yield seed after its time. And when you plant those seeds, they will produce again after his time. Verse 14, we see that Yah set light in the firmament of heaven, or in the heaven. He set light in the heaven to divide the light from the darkness, or divide day from night, same thing. And they are for signs, which are miracles, seasons, and days and years, okay? And their purpose not only was to, their purpose was for signs. When you look at verse 14, at the end of years in that verse, you see colon, which lets us know that their purpose is for signs, seasons, days and years, and also to give light upon the earth. So that is the purpose of the sun and the moon and the stars. And so when we look at these scriptures, it points out clearly that that these things are not in what is classified as fate from NASA's perspective. Everything that you see associated with the trip to the moon, all of that was most likely done in a studio of some form. Eldon and I have even had opportunities to look at some things. He had pulled up some things and was just curious about some things from from that original so-called landed on the moon. It's just a whole lot of things in there, whereas it just doesn't make any sense whatsoever. You know, it's amazing that you can see they're supposedly on the moon, but you can't see any stars on the moon. But yet you can see stars from the Earth or dry ground. It's just little things that we're able to just look at from a common sense perspective, and you know, to come to the conclusion that we have been bamboozled, we have been lied to, just things that have taken place from that perspective. And the scripture indeed is the truth, because everything that it says here, you can actually look at this information, and you can see that it is in harmony with creation. Even when you just walk outside and just look at these things, everything that God is saying is in harmony with what He said. Okay, so again, you have the light. These lights are greater light to rule the day. Verse 16, and a lesser light to rule the night. Then it says the stars also. So it lets us know that these lights are stars, the moon, and the sun. There is no Jupiter. There is no Mars. All of these things that is shown in pictures with these little marble-sized things, or marble-shaped things, spheres. These things are not the way that they're described from the perspective of NASA, but indeed they are existing luminousness or existing stars that are in the firmament, whereby you see forms of idolatry that is associated with that. So there is a star that they call Mars. There is a star that they call Jupiter. It's just that it's not shaped the way that they said it is shaped. It is nothing but a luminousness, a light, which is a star. And it just shows that mankind, from a heathenistic point of view, they worship the host of heaven. And so I'll pull this up here. Let me just pull it up here, where Yah points out what our nation did. When you look at Deuteronomy chapter 4, Yah warned our nation concerning this, and this is what you see. This is what you see taking place here. Yah said, in reference to idolatry, I'm just trying to go up here. In reference to idolatry, he says, I'll start at verse 14, Deuteronomy 4, verse 14. This is when Yah was speaking to our nation. Okay, I just wanted to make sure. Are they going to be able to hear you fine, or do you need one of these? Okay. And so, here's what Yah spoke to our nation in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 14. It said, Yah commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgments, that you might do them in the land whether ye go over to possess it. So this is Moses talking to our nation. Then he says in verse 15, take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves, for ye saw no manner of similitude on the day that Yah spake unto you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire. This is when Yah comes down on the mountain and he deals with our nation, okay? You know, scared that I don't know what out of our nation, to the point where he said, Moses, you deal with it. We don't want to deal with him, you know. But verse 15, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 15 says, take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves, for ye saw no man of similitude on the day that Yah spake unto you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire. In other words, you didn't see him. You didn't see Yah, and so because of that, don't corrupt yourself by trying to create something in his likeness. Verse 16. Okay, he says, lest ye corrupt yourselves and make you a graven image, the similitude of any figure, the likeness of male or female. So when you look at the images of Christ, that is idolatry. Okay, it is idolatry. And so especially when you look at it from a perspective of worship. Okay, and so, you know, to balance that, a person may have different pictures as symbolisms of things. But the issue here is when these things are set up and you find people that worship them as God.
And this is the same vein of what's said right there, right? So, okay. You know, nobody that's alive now was around back when Christ was alive, right? So, you know, to take any image and say, well, this is what it looked like, it's no different than what's going on.
Exactly. And that's what we have to understand. So you get some people that will, you know, will start to say these things. Well, here, look at the photo. This is how it looks. This is what he's pointing out, that this is a form of idolatry, okay? So verse 16 says, lest ye corrupt yourself and make you a graven image. A graven image, let's deal with the word graven image, okay? And make you a graven image. When you look at the graven image, it says idol, okay? Make you an idol. The similitude of any figure. So if you're making something, or we're making something whereby we worship it as God, then that's what this is referring to. That's idolatry, okay? And then it says, similitude of any figure, that's verse 16, the likeness of male or female. Verse 17, the likeness of any beast that is on the earth, and the likeness of any winged fowl that flies in the air, and the likeness of anything that creepeth on the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the water beneath the earth, and lest thou lift up thine eyes unto heaven, and when thou seest the sun worship, and the moon worship, and the stars, Jupiter, Mars, Saturn, okay, and the stars, even all the hosts of heaven, should it be driven to worship them. So you see these images here, those are idolatrous images whereby man used that as to identify planets and things like that. And in reality, what mankind is doing is deceiving people into worshiping these things. So they look at the earth as round or as a sphere, and they worship it from those perspectives. So all of these things are put up there. That's why you have Sunday. When you study the history of Sunday, it is sun worship. Saturn is the worship. Saturday is the worship of Saturn and different things like that. We worship Yah on the Sabbath day, which is rest. The day of rest. Rest on the seventh day. So it's not a day that we're worshiping on. A day that we're worshiping on from a perspective of Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and Sunday, and we are worshiping God from a perspective of what he said was a rest day, a Sabbath, or the seventh day. It's just that the seventh day happens to fall just the evening and the morning is the first day from Friday dusk to Saturday dusk. So it's not a specific day. It's a Sabbath rest. So you got Friday dusk to Friday dusk. So you got 2 days included per se, or two identifiable days, Friday and Saturday, but it is a rest day that we acknowledge, a Sabbath rest day. And so he pointed out in verse 19, he said, lift up thine eyes unto heaven, and when thou seest the sun and the moon and the stars, even all the hosts of heaven should be driven to worship them and serve them, which Yah thy God has divided unto all nations under the whole heaven. Okay? And so when you see it from this perspective, I'm trying to divide it, has divided, when you look at the word has divided, it means from a It says to be smooth or to divide the flatter portion received. Okay? And so when you look at it from those perspectives, and I read verse 19 again, saying, lest thou lift up thine eyes unto heaven, and when thou seest the sun, the moon, and stars, even all the hosts of heaven, should be driven to worship them and serve them, which Yah, thy God, has given, has divided unto all nations under the whole heaven. Okay? And so when you look at things from that perspective, and even if you just decide to run a cross reference from here, you look at other passages that says Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 3, these are cross references to verse 19. Deuteronomy 17, verse 3 says, and hath gone and served other gods and worshiped them, either sun or moon or any of the hosts of heaven, which I have not commanded. So when that's done, it is done from a perspective of nations who choose to do these things, which classify them as heathens. Refuse, you know, they go against Yah's commandment, or during this time frame, they were not given to them. He gave it to our nation to be an example and teach other nations. And so you see these things happening. You're looking at things that heathen nations were turned over to worship, because, you know, Yah had a specific people in mind at the time to bring all mankind into the knowledge of the truth. Okay? Another example, you can look at 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 16. It says, and they lift all the commandments, and they left all the commandments of Yah their God, and made them molten images, even two calves, and made a grove, and worship all the hosts of heaven, and serve Baal. So when you see all these different things, this is idolatry. And so when you look at the root behind what NASA has done, you're looking at a bunch of idolatrous worshipers that have pulled us into their world, or have attempted to pull mankind into their world of belief. And so God has raised up prophets now to teach the people the truth, to feed them the truth, to bring them back to the Most High Yah. Okay, so we expose the lies, and we expose it with boldness, knowing that as long as we remain in the boundaries of the law of our God, then Yah will always protect us from the works of the enemy that we expose. Okay, and so the president said, okay, aren't you guys scared to release this information? No, we're not. Because we're in the will of Yah. As long as we remain in the will of Yah, no weapon formed against us can prosper from a perspective of anybody who's trying to harm his prophet. All right. Now, as we see this now, we go back to Genesis chapter 1, and we look at verse 16. And Yah made two great lights, the greater light to rule day, and the lesser light to rule night. He made the stars also. And Yah set them in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth. That is the purpose of the sun. That is the purpose of the moon. That is the purpose of the stars. Okay, so these are not planets in some far distant galaxy whereby, you know, we're not careful, there's a meteor that can hit Earth and completely wipe Earth off, or, you know, wipe Earth off the map, so to speak. No, it's impossible. There's water above us. We're completely protected. And then it brings us into an understanding of why the Earth itself is heating up so. Mankind is polluting the Earth, and this stuff has nowhere to go, because we're in, you know, it's like taking a glass and putting a candle underneath it, you know, underneath some glass, and just putting it on top of it. Well, that's going to heat up after a while. If you're bottling, so to speak, that heat up, you know, in something that can contain it. So that's the reason why we're, you know, it feels like it's just hotter and different things like that. All this pollution, all this stuff that's going up in the atmosphere, there are a lot of things that's happening from that perspective, so it feels like, man, it's getting hotter. Some people say, man, the sun is getting closer. No, it's not. It's just that mankind is doing so much stuff to pollute the atmosphere, you know, to pollute the heavens, to where it is creating a heat wave because this stuff is bouncing up and has nowhere to go. Water bubble. Okay? And so that's what's really going on when you want to really deal with global warming from the perspective of truth, you know. We heat this planet up, but we don't, with all this technology that man has come up with. Okay? Now, verse 17 says, Yah sits them in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and divide the light from the darkness. And Yah saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. This is the fourth day. There's nothing in the scripture that gives us the impression that these were thousands of years. We dealt with the day. The guy is a thousand years, the other day. It talks about, that's in reference to him bringing the past his will. And what we consider slackness is not slackness to Yah, but indeed is patience. Okay. Now, as we continue on, verse 20 says, Yah said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creatures that have life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. Now, as we see this, this is the time when your flying birds and things like this were created. They were created during this time. Okay? Man is still not in existence, so you have these animals that have been created. Then you look at verse 21, it says, Yah created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And Yah saw that it was good. So you see him filling up the heavens with flying animals, and he's also putting the animals in the seas and the waters. And so he created the whales. It says great whales. And so there are a lot of things where people classify as just the whale, but Yah classified these things as great whales. Okay? Plural. Okay? And so then it says, every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind, and Yah saw that it was good.
So did everything come out of the water? Is that what they're saying?
Everything what?
Everything come out of the water.
If we hadn't got down to the previous thing,
where it says, every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth from abundance.
So,
that's talking about fish, or is that talking about?
It's talking about everything that's in the water. And so during this time frame, because we still in the process of creation. And so when we get down to verse 25, you see the land out. So is that what you're asking me? Yeah, so verse 20, 21 is dealing with all animals in the water. Verse 25 is dealing with land animals. Is that what you're asking?
Okay.
And we'll get there as we read it here. And if you still had questions, that's fine. Verse 20 again says, Yah said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creatures that had life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And Yah created great whales, every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And Yah saw that it was good. Verse 22 says, Yah blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the sea, and let the fowls multiply in the earth. So you see the difference there? because I see where you were going. I think you asked that all of this comes from water because of how it's being worded. But as you see it, you sort of break it down and make it a little bit more clearer in detail as you did it with these things. Because verse 22, it says, and Yah blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the sea, and let the fowl multiply in the earth. And so he's showing a distinction between where he created these things or where they were meant to be from his creation. Verse 23 says, and the evening and the morning was the fifth day. Verse 24 says, Yah said, let the earth bring forth living creatures after his kind, cows and creeping things and beasts of the earth after his kind. And it was so. So the best way to kind of explain it here is when God in his creation, when he brought forth a bird, it's kind of like this, like Yah said, let there be a bird and it appears in heaven. It's not like it has to be birthed in the land and being forced to fly. When Yah speaks these things, he said, let it be in the heaven in the soul. That's exactly how he described it. As he described the animals that's in the sea, he said, let it be in the soul. They're in there through the word that he spoke. Okay. Verse 20, so I'll go back up to verse 20. And Yah said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creatures that had life, and fowl that may fly above the earth. So you're looking at the animals in the water and the fowls that are above the earth. So it shows two distinctive places whereby this creative act is going on. Animals are being created in the water, fowls are being created to fly in the heavens. And so it identifies their location. Okay. And then verse 21 says, Yah created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly, after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And Yah saw that it was good. And Yah blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the sea, and let the fowl multiply in the earth. So once they're created in the heavens, the fowl multiply in the earth, not the water itself. But everything that's created in the sea, they multiply within the sea. Then verse 23 says, in the evening and the morning was the fifth day. Verse 24 says, and Yah said, let the earth bring forth a living creature after his time, cattle, and creeping things, and beasts of the earth after his kind. So now you have where every land animal is created, because the whales are sea animals and everything else is created. The fowls are heaven inhabitants, are created in the heavens. They inhabit the heavens, but yet they have to multiply on the land. And then he takes everything else and creates it to live on the land itself, in verse 24. Okay? So we have water animals, heavenly flying fowl animals, and then we have every animal after his kind to live on the face of the earth, verse 24 again, it said, Yah said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping things, and beasts of the earth after his kind. It was so. Verse 25 said, and Yah made the beasts of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And Yah saw that it was good. Okay? And now as we get to verse 26, this is where you have this doctrine that's been established from a perspective of the Trinity. We've dealt with this, and so we'll deal with this in a little bit more detail Genesis 26, verse, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 says, Yah said, let us. So they put us in there, and it never should have been in there. It should not have ever been let us, because Yah is doing this creation. He's the source by which all things are created. And verse 27 confirms that it should have been just him. Okay? Verse 26 says, and Yah said, let us make man in our image. It should have said, Yah said, I will make man in my image. Because that's what verse 27 confirms. Verse 26, because this is where they point out that you have, because it says us, they said, well, Christ was with God in the beginning, he's eternal. The Holy Spirit, which is the third of the Godhead, so God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That's where they get this doctrine from. Because of simply the use of the word us in our, to now turn around and teach the doctrine that there is a Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So there is only one God, the creator of all things. Okay. Verse 26, and Yah said, let us make man in our image, or Yah said, let me make man in my image, after my likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So when you look at verse 26, it makes it clearer the breakdown of what is the main of all these things are. Okay? Verse 26, and Yah said, let me make man in my image, and let them have dominion. So he always intended for male and female to have dominion, but at the same time, we'll see how God created male and female, okay? And so as you see it here, it says, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea. That is their domain. And over the fowl of the air, that is their domain. And over cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, that is their domain. Then verse 27 says, so Yah created man in his image. In his image. Why does it say, so Yah created man in their image? Because it's error. Yah is alone. But man wanna teach their doctrine, so they add things in here. It's just that we have to be wise enough to see when these things are made. When these things are done to try to insert doctrines and things like that based upon the interpretation of some man's belief that there is a Father, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. There's only one God, and that is the Father. That is who our nation worships. That is who the apostles worship. And that is who is always taught to be worshipped even in heaven when you look at the 24 elves. When you look at the living creatures in Revelation, they all worship the Most High God. Okay? They honor the Son who is sitting on the right-hand side of him. Based upon Acts chapter 7, he's in the heavenly tabernacle. But the source by which we worship is Yah. I don't worship Christ. I worship Yah. He is my God. Christ is the avenue that gives me the opportunity to worship our Father. Okay. And so I just make every effort to make it clear the process by which we're supposed to do things based upon the Scripture and not some tradition. Verse 27 again. And Yah created man in his own image. The image of Yah creating him. See, when you look at the semicolon here, it lets you know that it is man, it is Adam who was created in the image of Yah, not Eve. Adam was created in the image of Yah. That's why it says, in the image of Yah created he him, colon or semicolon. Then it lets us know the rest of the creation when it comes to man. male and female created he them. Well, he didn't create man until you get over into Genesis chapter 2 and you see the process by which he did this thing. That's why we know man is in the image of Yah, not he. Adam is in the image of Yah, not he. Okay? And we pointed out there are scriptures that I can go to that we may go as we have the time to point out that man is the glory of Yah and a woman is the glory of man. Okay? Adam is the only creation that is created in the image of Yah. We as men are created in the image of Adam, who's in the image of Yah. Okay? We have to understand the art about what Yah does things. So when you look at Genesis chapter 2, it points out, we just saw that verse 2, Genesis 2 verse 2, said, on the seventh day, Yah ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And Yah blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. Sanctified it because in that he rested from all his work which he had created and made. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created in the day that Yah God made the earth and the heavens and every plant of the field before it was in the earth. Okay? And every herb of the field before it grew. For Yah God had not called it to rain upon the earth. So he's letting you know these things were done before the earth started bringing them forth on their own. Okay, this is what he's saying in a nutshell. These are the generation, verse 4, of the heavens and of the earth when they were created, in the day that Yah made the earth and the heavens, in every plant of the field before it was in the earth. It didn't come up out of the earth. Yah said, peace, and it was there. And from that point on, it started bearing seeds and coming up out of the earth. So he's letting us know. Verse 5, in every plant of the field before it was in the earth, in every herb of the field before it grew. For Yah, God, had not called it to rain upon the earth to produce from the seed that the plant that he created would bear fruit, and they would go in the ground and it would come forth from the earth. And it points out that it hadn't rained, okay? For Yah had not called it to rain upon the earth, and there was no man to till the ground. So it's pointed out that when Yah created all these things, although first Genesis 1 verse 27 is pointing this out, it's still making it clear that although it gives the example or it gives the expression of when Yah was created, it does not say that he was actually created male and female, because chapter 2 explains the detail of how he did that. That's why I'm saying in verse 27 that he created the male in his image. He created the male in his image, and we'll see it in chapter 2. Now, as we see here in verse 5 again, Genesis 2 verse 5, it said, every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and Elder, if you have some, interrupt me, and every herb of the field before it grew, for Yah had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground, but there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the earth. I'm saying it here. This is how these things were watered. It hadn't rained. First time it rained was during Noah's flood. Okay? Then verse 7 says, Yah God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Who did he breathe in? Man. That's why when you look in Genesis 1, Verse 27, it said Yah created man in his own image. In the image of Yah created he him. Male and female created he them. It's letting you know he created a man, but yeah, he created male and female. Verse 2 explains how he did. Okay? So Yah formed the man of the dust of the ground. breathed into man, Adam, and man became a living soul. Okay? Verse 8, Genesis 2 said, and Yah planted, and Yah God planted a garden eastward in Eden. So the garden is eastward in Eden. Okay? It's not the garden of Eden per se. It is a garden that in Eden. When you look at all of Yah's creation, from chapter 21, you'll see what Eden is. But we can find out here. We'll show you where Eden is located. Okay? We know where Eden is. All you have to do is look at all the creations and you see where they dwell at today. That's Eden. It's just a garden was there. Okay? Now, verse 8, Yah planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man who he had formed. And out of the ground made Yah God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden. And from this it parted and became four heads. So there's a river that went out of Eden to water the garden. Okay, to water the garden, verse 10. And from this it was parted and became four heads. The name of the first is Pison. Which compassed the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold is good. Bdellium and onyx stone, verse 12. And the second river is Dion. The same compassed the whole land of Ethiopia. So these rivers come from Eden, and then they go out and they water all the regions. When you look at these places, these rivers, they're in the regions of Africa, or what is classified as Africa and the Middle East, which is Africa. Okay? And so when you look at this river, or this garden is eastward, and it goes out and parts in the four areas. So we're looking at the region whereby whereby the Garden of Eden is located, or Eden is located. It's in that region. Okay, and so we have Ethiopia in verse 13 and verse 14, the third river is Hinnekel, that which is, it goes far east of Assyria, and the fourth river is Euphrates. You just check these four rivers, you know they're all connected to what is classified as Africa or the Middle East, Northeast Africa region. This is why these rivers are. Verse 15 says, Yah God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Remember when I had said that the purpose of mankind was to dress and keep the garden? He didn't have to plant anything. It is what I understand from being a country boy and knew that things grew naturally, but we had to dress and keep it. We had to pick up the fruit that fell on the ground. The tree would be so abundant with fruit, we had to dress and keep it. We had to constantly, what we couldn't eat, we had to pick up off the ground because it was going to be a mess. We had to keep the trees pruned back because if we didn't, they were going to overgrow. But we didn't have to plant anything. This is what man's purpose was. That was his occupation, to dress the garden and to keep it, to maintain it, to dress it and to keep it. Okay? Now, when we look at the word dress it and to keep it, in the scripture, when you look at this, to dress it, it means to work, to till. Okay? To work, to till, it has other meanings going on here, but that's what it's for. So you're looking at it from that perspective, there are certain things that even we do today. There are things that you can do to grass. You can till the ground. Sometimes you have people that come over and they'll put holes in the ground so that it can breathe. So so to speak, that will allow the, you know, when you put different fertilizers and things like that down to cause it to be healthy. So when you look at that tilling, it's from that perspective. It's not that mankind was saying, I got to plant these things. He was taking care of the land, and these things were growing by the will and plan of Yah. His responsibility was to dress it, to till, to work it, and to keep it up. When you look at the word keep it, it means to guard, keep a hedge about it, okay? To guard, protect it, okay? Reserving it. So that's what man's purpose was in the garden, okay? Verse 16 saying, Yah commanded the man saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. Well, we know that, but what I want to do is, I just keep reading it. Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Verse 18, and Yah God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. That is the purpose of woman. It is vitally important for us to understand that Yah always intended for man to be the head. That's just the art of Yah. There's no disrupt. There's no lack of harmony from making that statement. It's just factual information. That's why the woman was created to be his helpmeet. So I had an order. So when people look at it and they say, well, it was sin that caused the woman to be submissive to the man. No, Yah always intended for the woman to be submissive from a godly perspective. It's just that because certain things happened from Genesis chapter 3, then it made things more severe from a perspective of submission. Okay? And so as you look at it again, verse 18, it says, Yah, God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him and help meet for him. The woman is the help meet for the man. The man is not the help meet for the woman. She was created for the purpose to help meet. Let's look at the word to define the word help meet so we can understand Yah's order. When it says, and help me, it means an aid. Come and help me for him. An aid. Someone to aid him. What is his purpose? Yah said, I'm going to put this man in the garden and dress it and keep it. And I'm going to give him a woman so that he don't have to be alone to aid him in that process. It was that responsibility of the man, and he created the woman to aid that man. Okay? So that's why when you look at these things from a kingdom perspective, it has always been something that is not, that is out of order, that is not proper when you got a man that is aiding a woman from a perspective of order. You know, it's okay to aid, but when you look at it from a perspective of order, things have to be done decently and in honor. We see it in the scripture. And so, as you see, verse 19, it said, out of the ground, Yah, God formed every beast of the field, he's reminded us, and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was a name thereof. Can you imagine how awesome Adam was being in the created image of Yah? And everything Yah brought to him, he named it. He didn't forget the name. Okay. Then it said, and Adam gave names, verse 20, and Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helpmeet for him. And Yah called the deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and Yah took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which Yah God had taken from man made he a woman. Now when you look at the word real, look at it here. You look at the word real, it says real of the body, okay? And so I'm just looking at different words that will, so all implications give us what we understand it to be as what it is. There are other references that we can kind of run on it when you start to look up these things, but I'm not going to do it today. Okay, and so as you see it here, verse 21 again, and Yah, God, caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof, and the rib which Yah, God, had taken from man, made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. God created man in his image. Woman is created in the image of man. She's the glory of man. Okay? She's the glory of man, and man is the glory of Yah. Okay. Then it is why verse 24, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh, because it points out the perspective by which Yah created man. Okay? He created man, he took off from the man, and so Yah is saying that when I put a man or woman together, they now are one flesh, like the way that I originally created man. I took the woman from his rib, and when they become together, they are now one in flesh, bone of bone, flesh of flesh. So therefore, she is called woman, and they two shall be one flesh again, because that's how I made them. I took her from his flesh, and now when I put them together, they become one flesh. But it says it that way. Okay. Verse 25 says, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. So when you look at the word naked here, we get back into the other one. It says they were naked, nude. Okay. The man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. Okay. They were not ashamed. And I think it's funny here when you look at the word shame. It means pale, to pale by implication, to be ashamed, to be disappointed or delayed. Okay, they were not disappointed, and they were naked and they were not disappointed. So now, as we go back to and get ready to close this here, as we go back to verse 27. So Yah created man in his own image. We just looked at how he did it. He created man from the dust of the ground, breathed in his nostrils, man became a living soul. Then it says, in the image of Yah created he him, that man. Okay? Male and female created he them. He take Eve from the rib of the man and make a woman. Okay? Now when you look at verse 28, Yah makes them. He creates them, and then he says in verse 28, and Yah blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth with the seed of yourself after your kind. Okay? And replenish the earth. Replenish means to fill. Replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. We have dominion. When you look at the word dominion, it means to rule. That's why I tell you, man, I don't run from animals. Reign over. I walk in my authority as a son who is walking in his dominion that was given to mankind in the beginning. So I don't run from animals. I don't trust things like that. Now, I don't do anything stupid, but if I'm in a circumstance whereby I'm confronted by an animal, God has not given me the spirit of fear because I know I have reign over that animal. I have dominion over the air. The air is his domain, but I have dominion over his domain. The earth is animal's domain. I have dominion over that domain. If I'm in the sea, I have dominion over every animal that's in the sea. Shark, that don't matter. I have reign over it. You have reign over that as mankind. Okay? It's just that because we're out of order, there are things that's happening to mankind in these different atmospheres or different circumstances. You see them out in the jungle somewhere, they get eaten by the lion because everything is off course. You see them in the ocean, they get eaten by sharks and things like that. It was never intended to be that way because we were supposed to reign over those things. Every animal hear us by nature. It's just that what they do is they have the capacity to sense the fear in you. And when they sense the fear in you, they know you are someone who is not walking in your dominion. They're going to tell you to peace. But if any animal that Yah has created run into someone who understands their reign, their dominion, that animal is not going to approach that human because it senses that that human knows his domain. That's why I don't run from animals. I ain't going to jump out of no car and go mess with the elephant because now I'm kicking Yah. But if I ever be put in a circumstance where now an elephant want to attack me, I have dominion and I'm going to step into it and walk in it every time. I do not fear animals. I do not fear animals in the air. I do not fear animals in the sea. I do not fear animals on land because I have dominion as a son of the Most High Yah. I reign over those things. Okay? Animals can sense your fear. And that's why they attack. I can show you all day long. All day long is a figure of speech. I can show you different men who are in Africa who hunt down lions. And when a lion see them, they take off running. That's who I'm judging. What makes them run from that man and then turn around and attack another man? All he got is a stick. Okay. I'm going. Y'all stay sure. So y'all bear with me a little bit. I don't know quite where to look per se. So help me have to help me out a little bit. I'm gonna go to YouTube and I'm going to. I'm going to just type in a word like lion hunters, and hopefully it will bring it up. There are men who hunt them down, just like a person who would hunt down any other animals. Real wrong. I don't really know what the I'm gonna type in men of Africa. They'll call them a stop. This lion just made a kill. Big, strong male. Watch when these men walk upon him. Now, he just made a kill. I don't know. I can't really tell what type of animal he is, but watch what these men finna do. Okay. Now, to show you that we're not supposed to kill these animals. Now, watch. I'm just fast-forwarding it for the sake of the time. These men here, they hunt them. They hunt down lions. Okay, I'm going to keep moving, because this is like 5 minutes, so I'm going to keep looking. Oh, he killed a cow. That's what it looked like. He killed a cow. He killed one of their cows. Now, do they got shotguns? They got sticks. That's called dominion. The only thing is, we are too Americanized, and we run from puppies, dogs, and things like that. These men chase off lions. And I can show you one video after another where sometimes there is one that's doing it. They don't fear them. And so I just wanted to show you that, and they're called, I think, the Maasai. It's the Maasai tribe. They're lions. They're classified them as like lion killers. And as a matter of fact, there's one that, you know, they've been trying to get him to stop doing it. He just can't help himself. He'll leave the village and go all by himself and hunt them down. And when the lions see him coming, they run from him. And all he have is a spear. Okay? So when Yah says this to us, verse 28, and Yah blessed them, and Yah said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, in the water, over the fowl of the air, everything in the air, and over every living thing that moves up on the earth. Rule over it. Reign as king. Reign over it. Have dominion over it. Have authority over it. Verse 29. And Yah said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree and which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat. So our meat is the herb and the fruit from the tree. We were not created to eat meat, as in the meat that we eat now. The word meat means produce. It's talking about the herb and the fruit from the tree. So you and for it shall be for meat. The word meat is food. So that food is the herb and the fruit from the tree. We're going back to that in the when Christ returns. We're going back to being vegetarians. I'll show you here, and then I'll go ahead and get ready to close. Isaiah chapter 11 points out. You read Isaiah chapter 11, the whole chapter on your own. It says that there are specific parts that I want to get to. Then it says verse 6, Isaiah 11 verse 6 says, a wolf also shall dwell with the lion, And the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and little children shall leave them. Why? Because the dominion is back to full force when Christ returns. And the cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together. Show me a cow and a bear laying down there. And the lion shall eat straw like an ox. Because he's going to have no need to eat meat, so he's going to become a vegetarian again, like Yah originally created all things to be. Mankind at that time will go back to being vegetarian. Now, Yah created things, so he confirms this in Genesis chapter 1 when he said, everything that is up on the face of the earth, as well as mankind, this is your food. So lions were never supposed to eat other animals. We were never supposed to eat other animals, other forms of meat. But because of the sin of mankind and the state of this earth, God permitted it. And he gave us laws for doing it according to Leviticus chapter 11. But in the original state of man, we were supposed to be vegetarians, and we're going back to being vegetarians. Verse 30 said, every beast of the earth and every fowl of the air and to every living, everything that creepeth upon the earth wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. This is why the lion in Isaiah 11, verse 7, will feed or eat straw. When you look at the word straw, the word straw is material, stalk of grain. Vegetarian, herb. The lion is going to graze again. Okay? Then it says in verse 30, and every beast of the field, and every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat, food. And it was so. All y'all creation was supposed to be vegetarian. Because it grows, we all were created or we get our benefits and all that from the earth itself. Earth produces these things that we were supposed to eat it, and everything was supposed to be from a recycle point of view. It goes in you, it releases out of you, back into the earth, recycles itself through the earth and fertilizes and all these things and goes back into us again. God created us to be everything to be self-sustaining and maintain that way. And as I get ready to close up, if you don't have anything else, I'm going to show you whereas even in Revelation, when this thing is said and done, we will indeed be vegetarian. Let me see. Revelation 22, verse 1, when this is all said and done, and we live out eternity here on earth, and all wickedness is put to the side. Revelation 22, verse 1 says, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nation. You're going to be vegetarian. Okay? So in this time, we're going to eat from the tree of life that bears 12 manner of fruit, different types of fruit, 12 manners. Or that bear 12 fruits. That's what it's saying. So whatever the tree of life is, it don't have just one kind of fruit. It's 12 of them. Okay? And so that is the creation from Yah's perspective. Verse 31 of Genesis 1, we close. Verse 31 said, Yah saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. In the evening and the morning was the sixth day. You go into chapter 2, he rests on the seventh day. So this is Yah's creation. This is how he explained that he did it himself. And the only way that we can understand it clearly is accept exactly what he said and how he said he did it. And from that perspective, we will walk in truth. Okay? All right. Any questions or comments? Anybody? Okay. We'll go ahead and close. Father, y'all, we just bless your name. And we just thank you for bringing us into the knowledge of creation from the heaven and the earth all the way down to the creation of all things and even what we should eat. And we just bless you for that. In the name of Yahushua, we do pray. Amen.